Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. President Biden has COVID. We have the story.
Republicans wrapping up the national convention. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
I'm Rodney Price. Open records were a topic at Wednesday's Sedgwick County Commission meeting. That story is coming up.
President Biden tested positive for COVID prior to a campaign event in Las Vegas.
The president, one day after addressing the NAACP convention in Las Vegas, planned to give the keynote at an event for Unidos US, the nation's largest Latino advocacy group. But Unidos CEO Janet Merguia broke bad news.
The president has been at many events, as we all know, and he just tested positive for COVID.
Merguia said the president apologized for not appearing, but did not want to put anyone at risk. The president stopped earlier at a restaurant where he had been greeting diners. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
It's the final day of the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Former President Donald Trump officially accepting the Republican presidential nomination.
We heard from his running mate, J.D. Vance, who spoke to a roaring and welcoming crowd here in Milwaukee Thursday night.
I officially accept your nomination to be Vice President of the United States of America.
Today, the RNC closes out with former President Donald Trump, now the leader of the Republican Party, days after an assassination attempt, taking the stage and accepting the Republican presidential nomination and delivering what he said is now a newly rewritten speech that'll focus not on President Biden, but unifying our country. At the RNC in Milwaukee, Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
And KNSS will bring you live coverage of the convention beginning at 8 o'clock this evening.
Sedgwick County Commissioners approved a resolution pertaining to Kansas Open Records Act requests.
The updated policy provides procedures and the framework for compliance with CORA. Any citizen of the county can either obtain a copy of or inspect government records, and the county has 3 days to respond to such a request. Corey Stokes with the county says they can charge fees for CORA requests, but there is a limit.
Those fees look like cost of labor, hard costs that we have to pay in order to produce those records. The one thing that CORA does state, though, is that fees for record for supplying a request is not to be used as a deterrent to prevent requests.
The county says they average around 1,600 requests per month. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
The Sedgwick County District Attorney's Office says there is insufficient evidence to file charges related to an animal cruelty investigation involving the Valley Center High School varsity baseball team. Valley Center Police said a school employee reported to a resource officer that baseball team members had allegedly killed a chicken on the field before heading to an away game in April. The school suspended the baseball season after the allegations became known.
The director of the Secret Service is facing calls to resign.
The incident took place just hours after all senators learned the Secret Service knew about the threat against former President Trump before he took the stage in Pennsylvania Saturday, but still let him go on. After being questioned, Cheadle told the senators,
"I don't think that this is the
point." Things got heated as Cheadle walked away, as seen in a video posted on Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn's X account.
You owe nothing.
Wyoming Senator John Barrasso saying afterwards, the question is,
how that shooter was able to get off a clear shot when the FBI and the Secret Service knew that there was a suspicious person an hour in advance.
Senator Blackburn said Cheadle can run, but she cannot hide. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
KNSS News time now, 8:03, 3 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Yep, it's that time of year. The Kansas City Chiefs getting training camp underway. We'll preview that coming up in sports.
Several vigils in Pennsylvania for the man who died in Saturday's attempted assassination of former President Trump. That story and more coming up on the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted, now 8:08, 8 minutes past 8 o'clock. New developments in the investigation into the attempted assassination against former President Trump at his rally last weekend. Fox's Matt Finn has the latest from the scene in Butler, Pennsylvania.
Lots of new eyewitness video coming in during the moments before and after the shooting. First, new video that appears to show the alleged shooter wandering near the building that he apparently used a ladder to climb onto and then fire into the crowd. Other new video that shows the chaotic moments after the shooting, Trump being ushered away by Secret Service and the two gunshot victims being escorted off a bleacher, just horrifying chaos. And there is intensifying scrutiny over the failed security plan at the rally.
The shooter's motive is being investigated.
Several vigils in Pennsylvania for the man who died in Saturday's attempted assassination of former President Trump.
When the gunfire started in Butler, Pennsylvania Saturday evening, Corey Compitore yelled, "Get down," and dove on top of his wife and two daughters to shield them from the gunfire. He took a fatal round to the head. Wednesday evening, prayers were offered at a candlelight vigil in Buffalo Township, Pennsylvania.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound.
Corey Compitore's funeral is scheduled Friday. The service is private, but police expect hundreds will line the procession route. Jack Callahan, Fox News.
A New York City lawmaker is accused of sinking her teeth into an issue, but not the way you think.
The NYPD says City Councilwoman Susan Zhuang bit a cop during a protest over the construction of a new homeless shelter in Brooklyn that got out of hand. Video posted to social media shows police battling demonstrators when a woman who appears to be Zhuang is seen trying to wrestle a barricade away from police as an officer tries to handcuff her. Police say Zhuang was blocking cops from getting to a woman on the ground, and Zhuang pushed officers and bit one as the officer tried to grab her. She's charged with assault and resisting arrest. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 8:10, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Gasoline prices here in the Wichita area this morning. Well, still $3.39 a gallon. We really haven't seen much movement from that out there. No. $3.39 a gallon for the most part. Here and there, a little bit better. 31st Street South and K-15, $3.35 there. Looking at the Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras, heaviest traffic northbound I-135, and it's right there in the lane restrictions between 1st and 2nd Street and the 8th and 9th Street exits. Traffic update, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
And now the forecast with meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Mainly dry as we go through our Thursday, but there's still going to be a 10% chance of rain, especially by midday. Partly cloudy to mostly sunny skies, and not too toasty out there with a high of 87. Winds are going to be light, too. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Now, clear sky, northeast wind at 5 miles per hour, 63 degrees at Wichita's Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 8:11, Steve, at 10 in the morning, July 18th, 2024. It was on this date in 1976 at the Summer Olympics in Montreal. Mm-hmm. Nadia Comăneci of Romania became the first gymnast to receive a perfect score of 10 from Olympic judges for her performance on the uneven bars.
Remember that very well.
I do, too.
Yeah.
It was so...
it was exciting.
It never happened before. Nobody had ever given somebody a perfect score. Has it happened since, though? Do you know?
I believe so.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen very often, and she was just amazing that summer.
Terrific routine, and I don't know.
She became an instant celebrity.
Yeah, I don't know much about gymnastics, but I like to watch the free X and things like that because those people who do that are terrific athletes. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. Nadia Comăneci, that was 76. Wonder what she's doing today.
Well, didn't she marry that other gymnast, Bart? Didn't they set up a shop down in like Oklahoma City?
Really?
I think at one point she was living in Oklahoma City and running a gymnastics place down there.
Gymnastics.
I'm not sure if that's still intact, but I think at one point that's what was going on. All right. Now, you mentioned the Olympics earlier.
Yeah.
Of course, the Paris Olympics begin in 8 days,
a week
from tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's been last time Paris hosted was 100 years ago, 1924.
Ooh, okay.
So it's been 100 years. But anyway, you were asking about the American cities that have hosted the Olympics. And we mentioned the Summer Olympics.
Yeah.
St. Louis and Atlanta and L.A.
And
now
Los
next we'll time around point. Three times. We've hosted a lot more Winter Olympics than we have Summer Olympics in the United States, which I kind of forgotten about. And the other thing is, I kind of delved into this topic several years ago on a sports talk segment that I was doing. And a great trivia question is, what American cities have bid for the Olympics the most?
Have bid for
the Olympics the most. And you know, it immediately comes to your mind, well, L.A.
New York
or Chicago.
Yeah.
Or, you know, things like that. None of those are right.
Really?
Apparently there was a long stretch there where every time the Olympics were up for bid, Detroit and Cleveland put their name in the hopper.
Wow.
And they always had like a fairly strong push and they always had like a decent plan, but the Olympic Committee every time ignored them.
Well, those are...
But like Detroit and Cleveland have both put their name in the hopper like 8 or 9 times over the decades to host the Olympics, and it's never happened, but that's an interesting little
I wonder if Atlanta got it the very first time they put their hat in the ring, or if they tried more than once. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Detroit and Cleveland were the two that.
Well, you don't picture them as the kind of city that could do it. I've never been to either one of them, but it looked like an old city with manufacturing and the Rust Belt and blue collar people and not much exciting going on there. I guess that's my image. Maybe that's.
Well, and they're part of a, you know, if you have forward thinking organizers in those places, you think, hey, if we host the Olympics, this is going to make our city.
Yeah.
We'll be known throughout the entire globe.
Well, this is the past 30 or 40 years, Atlanta has become quite a city.
Well, Atlanta's just,
I mean,
just,
everything going
just
on.
Exploded.
I've been
as
there.
A major city.
I've been there one time, and I can see that. Atlanta. I just spent a day there one time and went
great
to
place.
CNN and some places, and it's great, kind of a beautiful place.
Great city, yep.
I mean, it's like in the forest. There's pine trees and everything. It's beautiful. So anyway, all right, a little Olympic news this morning. I have never, like I said, when I was an athlete in school, and I never could understand how gymnasts did things. There were always these guys, they usually had giant arms and shoulders. And they could do things with the rings and the.
Oh, yeah. Very impressive.
Yeah, but I was never that strong in my upper body, but these guys are great. And it's great to see them, the jobs they do and there's a lot of work goes into it. And it all starts, what do you say, a week from tomorrow?
A week from tomorrow, yeah. Getting things going in Paris.
Hey, this morning, let's check in with the Fox News Radio's Jeff Manasso. He's been covering the convention. The Republican convention for the past couple of days, and Jeff, day 3's in the can. What's going on tonight then, Jeff?
Well, we are going to hear from the former president. This is his day to shine. We've been waiting for this, and tens of thousands of people, fans of Donald Trump and Republicans, they're in town to wait to hear what he has to say. We want to know what he's going to say following that attack over the weekend.
So far, pretty good lineup of speakers, several people from Trump's family, as I understand, right?
Yeah, well, Eric Trump is certainly going to speak. We heard from Don Jr. last night and others. And it's so interesting because I don't know if you've noticed this. Maybe it's me, but something looks different on Trump on his face. His face just looks different, particularly when family members get up there and speak. There's almost like a somberness.
A sobering. Yeah. I've noticed that. I saw some video this morning of him, and he doesn't have that usual, I don't want to say smirk, but it's kind of a strange little smile that he has. And maybe it's sobered him up being almost killed. Wow.
Anybody who has a brush with death and survives it in the manner that he has, I'm sure can relate to his thought process right now.
Sure.
I think we'll find out more about that thought process a little bit later on tonight. We've already been told that his campaign speech that he was going to deliver really focused directly on Joe Biden, the president of the United States. And that's gone. That's out. He's not going to focus on Biden. Rather, he's going to focus on unifying this country. And it's kind of the theme that we've been hearing over the last couple of days, including last night, where a kid from Appalachia had the biggest moment of his life, the third day of the Republican National Convention, where J.D. Vance officially accepted the Republican nomination for vice president, portraying a night of hope, a celebration of what America once was and what it will be again, and a new path for our children and grandchildren And he talked about his humble beginnings. And it, you know, his wife, Usha, spoke. If you've seen the book, or if you've seen the movie or read the book,
yeah,
you can appreciate what I thought was a really powerful moment when he introduced his mother, Beverly, who was clearly in awe of that moment for herself, for her son, for her family.
Well, it's the American dream of coming from somewhere and going somewhere. And I look at this guy, and regardless of your politics, Jeff, you got this guy's 39 years old. When's it been? Yeah. How long has it been since we had somebody that young on the national picture like that? A long time.
Yeah, been a long time.
Jeff, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it, sir. It's Fox News Radio's Jeff Manasso with us this morning talking about the Republican National Convention. By the way, coverage tonight begins at 8 o'clock right here on KNSS. We're going to cover the convention for you. Steve, at the end of the morning here, 8:19 on this Thursday morning. And Ted has been busily putting together his sports because, well, there's just so much to talk about in sports this morning. Right, Ted?
Well, you never know. We've got something to talk about, including how about the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah.
There are only 8 NFL teams that do their training camp away from their home site. The Chiefs are one of them. They go up 65 miles north from Arrowhead Stadium to Missouri Western State University in St. Joseph, Missouri. 14th year the Chiefs have been in St. Joseph. Chiefs, of course, used to do their training camp up in River Falls, Wisconsin, a long way away. Then they moved closer to home in St. Joe in 2010, and that current contract expires after this season.
Did it go to Wisconsin because the weather was a little
nicer? That was one of the thoughts at the time, was you're getting away from the heat. You're getting up there. A lot of teams, a few teams went up to Wisconsin and Minnesota in that area to kind of hold their training camp. But that kind of fell out of favor a little bit. Teams wanted to be a little closer to home base. But the Chiefs are 65 miles away. So it's a little bit of an old-school way to do things. You're in training camp. You're in college. You've got multimillionaires living in college dorms for a month.
Yeah.
And then you get up real early in the morning and do your team meetings and practices and things like that. But you can't argue with the results. Of course, the Chiefs won 3 Super Bowls in the last 5 years. The Chiefs, right now, they have select veterans. All the rookies are there and some select veterans. One of those veterans, quarterback Patrick Mahomes, already. And that means we're very close to getting things going with our daily training camp reports from St. Joseph with Mitch Holtis, the play-by-play voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Every year in the month of August, we visit with Mitch every day for 4 weeks in a row at 8:15 every morning and get training camp updates. So we're a week and a half away from that. We'll start that out on Monday, July 29th. With Mitch Holtis every morning, weekday morning, right here on KNSS with Steve and Ted. So we're really looking forward to that starting up. We have, let's take a look at pro basketball, the NBA Summer League in Las Vegas, day 7 of action yesterday. Playing for the Cleveland Cavaliers, former Kansas State Wildcat, Naquan Tomlin. He had 9 points, a couple of steals, and a couple of block shots. The former Wildcat from Kansas State, Naquan Tomlin, trying to get a roster spot with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Happy birthday to former Wichita State basketball player Kenny Poto. He's 22 years old today. Of course, he's a native of Sweden. Played right here in the Wichita area at Sunrise Christian Academy in Bel Air and became a Shocker. And he went into the transfer portal and is now going to play for Santa Barbara this season for the Gauchos. So Kenny Poto moved from the Shockers to the Gauchos. But former Shocker Kenny Poto celebrating a birthday today. He is 22 years old today. Hey, would you like that great prize package to go see the Wichita Wind Surge play baseball downtown at Riverfront Stadium, courtesy of Homeland Construction Services? It's a great prize package, and it's valued at $175. Why is it that expensive? Well, it's because you get your own Loge box table for 4 on the concourse.
Whoa.
So you got 4 free tickets right there, your own table. You go upstairs, you get all the free food you can eat, and you're parking in the Maple Street lot right by the stadium. That's free, too. So
terrific.
Free parking,
yeah.
Free food, your own table for 4 on the concourse. It's all free, and it's all brought to you by Homeland Construction Services. Hey, would you like to win those tickets?
Yep.
Very easy. You go to our website, knssradio.com, and you click on the Wind Surge Loge Box contest link, and you fill out the entry form, and you hit submit. Very easy. And maybe you could win those tickets to go see the Wichita Wind Surge in style on select weeknights for the rest of the season. Sports with Steve and Ted, brought to you by Bel Air Recovery Center, a safe, healing environment with caring employees that fully understand recovery from addiction. Bel Air Recovery Center, they improve the lives they touch.
Keep it here for the Hannity Morning Minute. Sean urges an outside investigation of the assassination attempt. That's on the way with Steve's Head of the Morning here on KNSS. Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 8:30 on this Thursday morning, 63 degrees. Day three of the Republican National Convention has wrapped up. Fox's Mark Meredith has the recap from the day's events in Milwaukee.
The RNC did have a lot of speakers to feature, and a lot of these are people that are close to the former president, people that would likely help him in a second Trump term. One of the people we heard from was North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, who was being considered for the vice presidential nomination, but with the whole country watching, made sure to try to sell the Trump agenda. All week long, of course, it's been hard not to notice that Trump's family has been playing a key role in the convention. Donald Trump Jr., who heavily lobbied for J.D. Vance to become the vice presidential nominee, made it clear that he believes Vance could also carry on the MAGA movement for years to come.
Former President Trump is to deliver the keynote speech at the convention tonight. KNSS will bring you live coverage of the convention beginning at 8 p.m. Central Time. It's been determined that a man who was struck and killed by a Wichita police vehicle was heavily intoxicated at the time of the accident. The autopsy report indicated that 51-year-old Jeffrey Moss had an alcohol level four times the legal limit. State troopers say Moss was crossing the street at Seneca and MacArthur when he was hit by an SUV in February. No charges have been filed.
Investigators are charging three men, this in connection with the killing of a woman in Vermont.
Vermont State Police arrested Aaron Camp and Josh Pendleton Wednesday. Both are charged as an accessory after the fact to murder after the body of Kayla Wright was found stuffed in a toolbox in the Missisquoi River. A third suspect, Jackie Keith, is expected to face a murder charge. He's already in federal custody on drug allegations. Investigators say 29-year-old Wright died from a gunshot wound to the head after a dispute over drugs in early February. Tom Graham, Fox News.
The Defense POW/MIA Accounting Agency says an American soldier who was captured and died as a prisoner of war during World War II has been accounted for.
U.S. Army Sergeant Sam Prince of Clovis, New Mexico, was 28 when he was captured and died as a prisoner of war during World War II. In late 1942, Prince was a member of Headquarters Battery, 200th Coast Artillery Regiment, U.S. Army, when Japanese forces invaded the Philippine Islands in December. Thousands of U.S. and Filipino service members were captured and interred at POW camps. Prince was among those reported captured when U.S. forces in Bataan surrendered to the Japanese. Prince died on September 22, 1942, and was buried alongside other deceased prisoners. Following the war, America Graves Registration Service personnel relocated the remains to a temporary U.S. military mausoleum near Manila. In April 2019, scientists used dental and other methods to identify the remains. Today, Sergeant Prince is memorialized on the walls of the missing at the Manila American Cemetery and Memorial in the Philippines. Sergeant Prince will be buried in Clovis, New Mexico, early next month. This salute to service is brought to you by Jimmy's Family Diner, a Wichita tradition since 1987. We invite you to read more stories about veterans and active military on our webpage at knssradio.com. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
Steve's Head of the Morning, KNSS, 8:51 on this Thursday morning. Three big things.
Three.
Tigard County Commission approves a resolution pertaining to Kansas Open Records Act requests.
Two.
Former President Donald Trump speaks tonight at the Republicans wrapping up their national convention.
One.
President Biden tests positive for COVID, third time in the past 2 years. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras right now showing things looking pretty good on the Wichita roadways. Not seeing traffic slowdowns out there on the highways. No real change in the gasoline prices out there either. For the most part, $3.39 a gallon is an average price out there. Traffic update from 98.7 at 1330 KNSS. I'm Jed Chambers.
Sunny today with a high of 86 degrees. Mostly clear tonight. The overnight low 64. Friday sunny. Tomorrow's high 88 degrees. Now clear sky. Northeast wind at 5 miles per hour, 63 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Trading underway on Wall Street this morning. The Dow is up almost 13 points. The S&P's up 10. And the NASDAQ is up more than 41 points.
And local business news from the Wichita Business Journal. Good Sense has 65 sub-sandwich restaurants in the United States. It says the owner of its West Wichita location is its franchisee of the year. Kansas-based company was founded in Lenexa, headquartered in DeSoto, announcing that Jennifer Dunn, who runs the Good Sense at Kellogg and Tyler, is this year's honoree. Dunn bought the location 2 years ago. The company highlighted Dunn's work ethic in the announcement, noting that she works in the restaurant 6 days per week.
In May of 2022, Derby annexed 80 acres of land into the city for a residential development. Now the city will welcome that development with construction scheduled to begin in September. Courtyards at Crosswater, an 80-acre residential development 1 mile east of Rock Road and north of Meadowlark Boulevard and St. Mary Catholic Church, will build 2 40-acre additions of single, two, and multifamily housing units. Perfection Builders Karen Clothier says the additions are divided by a creek, with the first addition to the south and the second addition to the north. She says a total of 263 housing units will be built. And that's local business news this morning from the Wichita Business Journal with Steve and Ted in the morning. Today is National Caviar Day. Fish eggs.
Caviar, yeah. Dreams.
Simple terms, that caviar is sturgeon fish eggs.
Okay.
There are several species of sturgeon fish, and as a result, the caviar produced varies in colors depending on the species. It's full of protein and vitamins, making it a delicacy. It's a heavy,
just like most eggs are.
A healthy meal there if you eat your caviar. I like mine over easy. I don't know about you, Ted. But,
very good. Poached for me.
Several years ago, just as a curiosity, somebody, I don't know where it was. There was caviar, and I decided
I was going to try it.
Test it.
See what, run it up the flagpole.
Man, never, ever again.
Well, at least you gave it a try.
Too many times that I've pulled a catfish out of a creek in Kansas and smelled that same thing. Oh, my word. Caviar. It's only for the rich. Ooh. All right. Happy birthday today to my twin granddaughters, Mary and Jocelyn.
Yay!
Double. They are seniors at seniors at Bishop Carroll High School, and they are just a treat, both of them.
Oh, of course.
Fun to have around, and have been a huge treasure and a huge addition to our family. Happy birthday to Jocelyn and Mary today. The Glenn Beck program on the way this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Will Biden stay in the race? That's one of the things they're going to be talking about this morning. And at the top of the hour news, President Biden has tested positive for COVID again. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Glenn Beck, the Dana Lash Show. News updates all day. Steve and Ted in the morning on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS Wichita. The high temperature today, 86 degrees. A little bit nicer than it's been the past few days.